Never a bad day when you start off with AC/DC, and that song's got some appropriateness today when we get to some of our stories. Good to have you with us, everyone. It's Drew Remenda filling in for Jamie Nye. Just a short program today, just an hour and a half today at 3:30. We are off the air because tonight the Riders take on the Red Blacks. So Green Zone game day, Britton Gray and Daryl Davis and the great Belton Johnson will join. Lots to get to today on the program. We're going to have Britton on a little bit later on, but also Aaron Bronstetter is going to join us from Sportsnet, reporter and broadcaster on MMA, usually the UFC, because coming up next week, as we talked about, Conor McGregor is back in the UFC. He's going to fight Max Blessed Holloway, my son's favorite fighter, and we'll talk about that with Aaron and a few other things going on in the UFC. But let's start off with today's starting lineup. Friday, July 3rd, today's starting lineup. It's appropriate we had Dave Naylor on yesterday talking about the increase in offense in the Canadian Football League, because last night you saw a record. Vernon Adams Jr. from the Calgary Stampeders, his team destroyed the Toronto Argonauts 58-36, 94 points total scored in that game. Vernon Adams, 405 yards, 6 TDs, and 1 rushing TD. The last touchdown was phenomenal. Gets the snap, bobbles it, gets a ton of pressure, escapes the first guy, gets an arm wrapped around him, switches the ball from his right hand to his left hand, and throws a little bit of a flopper right to the middle, boom, into the end zone, touchdown, Stampeders. Incredible athleticism and reaction from Vernon Adams Jr. So, gang, you were texting in yesterday talking about his lousy defense. Well, you saw some of that yesterday, but you did see some offense that was just incredible. 94 points scored, and we'll talk about a little bit later after, when we talk to Britton, about what is happening in the Canadian Football League when it comes to defensive play. But, oh, boy, what a game. That was back and forth yesterday. Chad Kelly, another 2 interception. I do believe he leads the league in that. And as I mentioned, tonight the Riders take on the Red Blacks, 5:30, and Green Zone game day will start at 3:30. So we're not going to be here. We're going to be here for a good time, not a long time. Soccer, the World Cup, the round of 16 is almost set. We've got a couple of games today, and that's going to take care of everything. Well, sorry, we've got one more game left that's going to take care of everything. The other game, the last game, is Argentina and Cabo Verde, and that starts shortly. No, I lied. Going to be a little bit later. So we've got Colombia and Ghana are going to play too, because they've got to find out who's going to play Switzerland. The one thing that you do need to know is tomorrow the Canadians play Morocco, one of the tournament favorites. That's at 11 o'clock, I do believe, tomorrow. And that will determine if they're able to move on. So it'll be a big day tomorrow. I thought it was kind of neat that America played on Canada Day and Canada is playing on Independence Day. So that's kind of cool. And by the way, great job today, Brent Laux, getting some positive talk going about America. Tomorrow is their 250th birthday, and we had a lot of good, he had a lot of good calls and a lot of good positive talk about America. A lot of times, the United States is an easy target, but I'm telling you, as a guy who has had the privilege and luck and honor of living there a lot of my adult life, I absolutely love that country. It is outstanding. The people are what makes the country. What you see every day and what you hear every day isn't America. Not all of America. Most of America is great. Every country's got their problems, but the people in America, they'll have your back. And when things are at their worst, they're at their best. Anyway, that's my little, all my talk I'm going to give you about about politics or anything like that. Big news that broke just a little while ago. Offer sheet from the Philadelphia Flyers to Leo Carlson of the Anaheim Ducks. Now, offer sheets happen, and they don't happen very often. Broberg and Holloway from the Edmonton Oilers were kind of the last one, although Hayden just went to New Jersey. But in the National Hockey League, you can offer restricted free agents an offer sheet. And depending on the amount of money is also what happens with the compensation. Leo Carlson has signed the offer sheet, and the young Swede, who's got, I do believe, 140 points or something like that in his career so far, had a great, great playoff last year, or this past season, when you look at the fact that they went to the second round. So Leo Carlson had 29 goals, 38 assists this year in 70 regular season games. He had 11 points, 4 goals, 7 assists in the playoffs that let Anaheim get to the second round. He's got 141 points in 200 games. He's a big, strong centerman. He's a heck of a player. He went number 2, as you'll remember, behind Connor Bedard. So Leo Carlson is up for an offer sheet. He's available. He's a restricted free agent. They're trying to sign him to another deal. And in this, you don't see these offer sheets every day, but this one, 5 years at an annual average salary of $18 million. Yes, you heard that right. $18 million annual average salary, $90 million total. At that money, that would require, if the Ducks don't match, that will require Philadelphia to give up first-round draft picks for the next 4 straight seasons to the Anaheim Ducks. The Ducks have 7 days to exercise right of first refusal, in other words, matching that contract. And Pat Verbeek, it's been reported, has said that he will match anything on that, any offer to especially a guy like Carlson, some of their other top players. So really interesting there. The other aspect of that is, well, Connor Bedard was looking, is the rumor was about 16, 17 million. And so Connor Bedard's looking at that going, well, that'd be interesting. But bad news for Connor Bedard fans. Yesterday in practice, was it yesterday, Donald, or today? It was yesterday in practice. He's just in practice. It's just working out, conditioning. And he doesn't go to the World Championship because he's rehabbing that right shoulder where that got injured during the season. So he didn't want to go to the World Championship and jeopardize that. Want to put the team first, which he did. And then yesterday in conditioning, doing a little 3-on-3 in zone drill. So put the nets at both boards and then just play 3-on-3 back and forth. He gets accidentally tripped into the boards, slams his left shoulder in the boards, gets up, and he is hurt. And you've all seen it, right? You've all seen when guys hurt their shoulder, they get up, and the way they react, you go, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Because you can tell that when the shoulder is hurt, when the shoulder is bad, that's the reaction. And he skates off the ice. And right now, there is no word on his status. There is no word on what the severity of the injury is. But the poor kid, my goodness me. He can't get a break. Breaks his jaw the first year, gets the shoulder injury with that last year in the season, tries to rehab it, and then gets this one hurt. So this is something that we'll keep an eye on as well, because that is very important to the Chicago Blackhawks. It's very important for Connor as well. Shoulder injuries, never had one. Davis, my son, has had many. In fact, his shoulder got so bad, and this is what happens with shoulders. I've seen guys in the NHL, it happened to all the time. Davis got so bad that he rolled over in bed one night and it popped out. So he got the surgery and everything else, and it's fine now. But still, when guys in the NHL who put so much stress on their shoulders take the hits into the boards or onto the ice or in front of the net, or Connor Bedard's last year when he hurt his right shoulder, it was just a face-off with, what was it? 0.8 seconds left or 1.2 seconds left or something like that. And Braden Schenn, he was going up against him. Braden took him down, and it wasn't dirty. Just went down on the, just scuttled the draw. and Bedard got hurt on that. So that's the other thing to look at with Connor Bedard. Boy, oh boy, that's going to be very interesting for Chicago Blackhawks. So lots to talk about today. As I mentioned, Aaron Bronstetter will join us at 3:05 to talk about UFC 329. But Britton Gray will join us at 2:35. We're only on till 3:30 because the Green Zone game day starts at 3:30 as the Riders are taking on the Red Blacks in Ottawa. When we come back, I want to ask you about something. I want to ask you about what you're thinking about the attendance in the Canadian Football League. Last night, you saw many, many shots, that aerial shot of McMahon Stadium, and there was hardly anybody there. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. The game on the field, well, you know what? And gee, we just, Ty, you're reading my mind, pal. Hey there, Drew. This is from Ty, 1-877-332-8255. Hey there, Drew. The CFL is always talking about the attendance in the CFL. Three things. I find the NHL playoffs go on long and then overlap with the CFL. So when the CFL starts, I'm still thinking hockey. That's number point number one. Number two, in Saskatchewan, I bet half the tickets are from people outside Regina. That's true. Gas prices definitely impact our ability to travel. Yes. Lastly, our family would rather watch McDavid for a game than get a family pack of season tickets for the Riders. That's Tyler in Saskatoon. So I'm going to ask you that very question. Thank you, Tyler, to lead me into it. Why do you think attendance is struggling across the CFL? But the two strong points, the two strongholds are Saskatchewan and Winnipeg. We'll talk a little bit more on the CFL. We come back. It's a shortened show because the Riders are playing today on the Green Zone. 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. You were raised right, Donovan. I don't know who taught you your taste in music. You just mouthed mum. 1-877-332-8255. My boy is running the ship today. We're talking, and we're going to get a chance to talk to you as much as we can today. We've got a 90-minute program, so the Green Day, the Green Zone game day, I should say, comes on at 3:30. Talking about attendance in the CFL, the people in the stands, we're not seeing them. And this is from Dale. For the life of me, I don't think it has anything to do with the product on the field. The games are great and exciting. What I think is the problem that the CFL battles is everybody's summer up here. It's a good point. Summertime, we all have the extracurricular stuff to do, and I don't need to list it here because we all know what it is. It's much easier to take a break, go watch the football game on TV, and you can pretty much do that now anywhere, can't you? Well, it's changing a little bit. I'm not buying the cost of fuel as a deterrent. I'm not buying the cost of tickets as a deterrent. Try to go anywhere and do anything in this world. Even movie theater costs a lot of money. I'm just convinced it's summertime, and we all have so many things that we want to do. That is from Dale. Let's go to David, 1-877-332-8255, talking about attendance in the Canadian football. It's embarrassing for the CFL to see such low attendance in most stadiums. Americans must watch that and wonder what the problem is. Even the worst NFL teams have full stadiums, and their stadiums are bigger. Yes, they are. That's David in Regina. It's huge, and you're right. Everything. It's a marketing juggernaut. Their marketing, their game presentation is fantastic in the U.S. on the NFL. But also, they're a multi-billion dollar industry. There's never the offseason there either. Bonnie from Wadena. Attendance is struggling because we are in a recession. People have to choose between food, mortgage, and vehicle payments over entertainment. As long as liberal policy remains, expect further deterioration. Bonnie, I'm not doing Garmley anymore. But there's another option when you look at that money for everybody. It's tough out there. So the extracurriculars, the fun stuff that we would normally do, we're not able to do because everything has gone up. Prices are through the roof. Life is tough when it comes to economic situations. So that's not a bad point, Bonnie. 1-877-332-8255. We're looking up, though, the demographics of the attendance in the Canadian Football League. And I do agree with Dale saying it's not the product on the field. And you can disagree if you want at 1-877-332-8255. It's summertime in Canada. It is a lot of people travel to the games, especially here in Saskatchewan. But Saskatchewan and Manitoba are the two places that are seeing a consistent gate revenue and are the ones, the two provinces, two areas, I should say, that support their team overwhelmingly based on population. The other ones are struggling. And when you are a gate revenue driven league, it is tough to make things go. I have like 30 seconds. Do I have time? I think I do. Mean text, always make sure. Terry, our old friend. Drew, well, there goes that therapy out the window the last time you solo hosted the Green Zone. You may recall I used that zinger before, but I'm following Rockle's example of reusing old time. Old and tired, washed-up sports broadcasters for fill-ins when there's no one from the B team is available. Terry from Powell Lake, thank you, Terry. You always come through with the mean text. We'll be back on the Green Zone with Britt and Gray on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone. Talking about attendance in the Canadian Football League, last night was a wild game, but the one thing that I kept noticing whenever they showed the stands, there wasn't very many people in the stands at McMahon Stadium watching that game between the Stamps and the Argos, which put up 94 points. This program is only an hour and a half today, and we've got about an hour left, and then Britt and Gray is going to take over. He's going to headman the Green Zone game day with Daryl Davis and Belton Johnson, and joins us on the phone right now. Hello, Britton.
Hello, Drew.
I want to get to some of these texts we still got because we've been talking about attendance. First off, I'm going to ask you, though. There's a couple questions I need to ask you. Is your thoughts on attendance? What do you think that there is an issue that the CFL can address or is going to address, or is the teams need to change something in order to get more people in the stands?
I do think there's a bit of an issue and a bit of concern because you're starting to see it in normally powerhouse markets are starting to lose attendance. Obviously, the Elks, we've talked about them. Calgary is normally a very good market, and you mentioned it. You saw it. People just aren't going to games now. I think every market has its own kind of issues. McMahon Stadium is not a good stadium.
It's awful, from everything
I've been told. Yeah. So it's not a good place to go watch a game right now. The Elks have been losing for so long. There's certain issues in every market, but I think the CFL realized that and also saw where sports is kind of heading. That's where you got the $500 million broadcast deal. That's why broadcast deals are so important to sports, because it allows you to get that money. And let's be honest, it's a lot of money to take a family out anywhere, mm-hmm. any sport to go out and do nowadays. Everywhere people are kind of more aware of how they're spending their dollars, being more selective of what they do. And that's just another thing that sports has to deal with, which is why I think that broadcast deal was very important the CFL got.
Next question I have, and you're more in tune to this right now than I am. Who do you have between Brock Lesnar versus Obafemi in the Hell in a Cell at SummerSlam? That's from David, who's a big wrestling guy from Regina.
I think it has to be Obafemi. I mean, there's all the rumors about this kind of being Brock's last go-around. It's in his home state there. I think Brock Lesnar, listen, I know he has that reputation about only caring about money, he just wants to look good. He understands the business. I think Oba will get the win.
By the way, that stadium is phenomenal. We stayed in Minneapolis every once in a while. You go by it, and it's incredible. That's why I think he might. I think, you know, Saskatchewan's own Brock Lesnar might win there. All right, let's get to the Riders. You're hosting the Green Zone game day at 3:30. They are playing the Red Blacks. What do you want to see from the Riders today?
I want to see a bit of a crisper performance, right? We saw that the last game out. It was those mistakes that normally happen week one that we have to wait until the third game of the season for the Riders to kind of show those. I want to be a little bit crisper. And then Corey Mace mentioned it too earlier. Have some fun out there. I want to see the guys show some personality. Keen Schaefer Baker, of course, he'll do that. But let's see some of the other guys do it. And don't get out physical. Win the line of scrimmage play. That's something I'll be looking at tremendously close during this one.
Defensively, we've talked about it. You've been on all week with me, and I do appreciate your time and your insight. Defensively, is there something scheme-wise that they're not doing, or is this simply, like we talk about in hockey a lot, one-on-one matchups that aren't being won?
I think it's one-on-one matchups, and also just getting a little bit of luck might help. This team, the defense, even under Corey Mace, would give up a lot of yards, but they wouldn't give up touchdowns, and they would get turnovers. Unfortunately, this year, they're giving up a lot of yards. They're not getting those turnovers, even though they've had a lot of interceptions dropped. I know the defensive backs want to start holding on to those. Yeah, it's making sure you get the football, and they're giving up some touchdowns. It's still early. There are a lot of new faces along this defense. It was always going to take a little bit for it to kind of gel. Josh Bell is calling things a little bit more aggressively as well. There is a new defensive coordinator. He's calling more blitzes, and you're definitely noticing it. So slight changes, but I think it's just winning those one-on-ones and just a little bit of luck and coming up with some of those turnovers.
What's the over-under on another return? Touchdown.
I don't think they'll give up three in a row. This is still pro football. I think they'll figure it out. But, boy, Khalil Pimpleton's one of the top returners in the CFL. He's so dynamic. He very well could. It's 50-50. I know that's kind of a cop-out whether it happens or not. Of course that is. But there's just a lot of factors at play in terms of the return game.
Talking to Britton Gray, he's going to host the Green Zone game day at 3:30, so it's a short show for us today, and I know that makes all of you happy. You don't have to listen to me anymore. So when we're talking about the Ottawa Redblacks, they are winless. I always think teams, no matter how much you try to discipline yourself, no matter how much as a coach you try to get your guys to concentrate on where your feet are, concentrate on our team and what we have to do in order to win a game, the other team, you always look over at the other team and go, they haven't won yet. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. You always look at the standings. You always do. It's human nature. What challenges do the Red Blacks present?
Well, we already talked about the dynamic return man, right? Khalil Pimpleton, he can turn a game over. They have a lot of talent. When you look at this team, it's kind of surprising they haven't won yet. They have Eugene Lewis, who's one of the top receivers in the CFL. Greg Bell is such a dynamic running back. Keelan White, he's a game-time decision, but he's really emerging as one of the top young wide receivers in the league. On defense, they got a lot of that Riders team from last year. That defense that was so good. A.J. Allen, C.J. Revis, Habakkuk Baldonado. It feels like all the ingredients are there. Just hasn't come together, and part of that is Jake Mayer hasn't really lit anyone up from the quarterback position quite yet. It looked better the second half of the last game against Montreal, yes, but people were questioning, well, why did they select Jake Mayer over Drew Brown? Then they go ahead and trade Drew Brown and really put all the chips in on Jake Mayer. Then they sign McLeod Bethel Thompson, but a little bit better quarterback play. It might start coming around because I've always said, if there's someone who's going to get the best of Jake Mayer, it's probably going to be Ryan Dinwiddie. Yeah. We saw what he did with Nick Arbuckle. Jake Mayer might have more of a higher ceiling than what Nick Arbuckle was able to do.
I want to get to last night's game for a second. 94 points scored. We talked yesterday about the explosion of offensive play in the Canadian Football League. I am a fan of offense, obviously. The last TD by Vernon Adams Jr. was amazing athleticism by that quarterback. Sets record at 405 yards, 6 TDs through the air, and 1 rush TD. What did you think of that game last night?
Well, fans of defense would look away because there was not a lot of defense. Even the Argos put up near 40 points,
36.
Right? Like it was a shootout out there. But Vernon Adams Jr., it's been interesting. He's always been going for the big play, but he's somehow managed to quit turning the ball over. He's the type of guy who would have 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, right? He's looking good. Seems like Calgary's finally figured it out of how best to use him once again, avoid the turnovers. And boy, Calgary, it put a lot of people on notice out there because, yes, it's on Toronto's defense. They absolutely cannot let that happen. But boy, you put up near 60 points in the CFL, people are put on notice.
Is Calgary, I should say, the team that people should be watching out for in the West?
I think so, because if you look at it, they only lose to Winnipeg because their kicker kicks the ball into the end zone. Winnipeg gets at the 40, kicks a easy field goal. They go to overtime, double overtime with the Riders. This is a team that very well could be undefeated right now. And they are, like I said, putting a lot of people on notice. And yeah, someone who may be in the West at the beginning of the season, you underrate, but they are making a push to maybe be one of the top teams in the CFL right now.
Britton, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Great job all week helping me out and getting that CFL insight and information out. And have a great program today on the Green Zone Game Day starting at 3:30.
Thanks, Drew.
You bet. Britton Gray, great job by Britton, taking care of everything here when it comes to the CFL and especially the Riders, keeping everybody updated. And he'll be hosting, as I said, with Belton Johnson and Daryl Davis, 3:30. So don't go anywhere. I'll get out of here. And then the big boys take over talking some CFL and Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It's the Green Zone, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Everybody at the bar, you can't help but sing in the car to that one. 1-877-332-8255. By the way, that's Tipsy by Shaboozy. A summer song that took off. Was it two summers ago? We're talking about the Canadian Football League. Terrific game last night, if you like offense. 94 points scored. Stamps 58. Argos 36. 405 yards, 6 TDs, and 1 rushing TD for Vernon Adams. It was a very entertaining game back and forth. But what we kept seeing and what we've been seeing all season long, even at Mosaic, is there's not every fan, not every seat is taken up by a fan. Attendance in the CFL is low. And I'm wondering, what do you think the reason is? Do you think it is the product on the field? Or as we had some other people phone in or text in at 1-877-332-8255. It's simply just a matter of it's summertime. You're in Canada. You don't get out very much. There's lots of things people want to do in Canada in the summer. Sometimes going to a hockey game, or sorry, it's always on my head. Football game isn't it. 1-877-332-8255. Tell me what you think. Let's go to, we already did that one. Here we go. Attendance is struggling because we're in, oh, I just already read that one too. Jeez, Donovan, what am I doing here? Let's go back up to the top. There we go. Ticket prices and concessions are way overpriced unless you go to BC. The owner is actually building a fan base. One thing when that organization was taken over by new ownership, boy, oh boy, did they reach out to the fans. Concerts in, stuff outside before the game at BC Place. And BC Place is not easy to get to. Like BC Place is downtown. You got to go through downtown to get to BC Place. It's beautiful on the water. A little older, of course. And getting in and out of there is tough. But they made it a go-to event, without a doubt. 1-877-332-8255. And Matt, correct for all CFL attendance. Product is good on the field, but times are tough for people and their pocketbook. As Matt, 1-877-332-8255 is the phone number. Changing gears just a little bit on our text line, and everything's open. When I heard you talking about Ovechkin signing in another year, I can't help but feel bad for the guys who are well past their prime but want to hang on a little longer when they should clearly quit and go to pasture. Excited to see more of Ovi, though. Guy still scores, man. He scored 30, I can't remember what he got last year, 37 last year, if I remember correctly. 1-877-332-8255. Scott from Silton. He's got it really figured out, guys. Scott says, hey, Drew, cost and drunk idiots, 110%. Scott from Silton. So there are a variety of reasons. I think when you go back to it, though, when you look at it, you know, we're talking about some of the reasons that the CFL struggles. I do think, obviously, location is one. Scheduling in the summer is two. Some of the reasons that are listed by some people who have analyzed this, summer scheduling, and that was one that was sent in too. The games, like seriously, the games, a Sunday evening game, That's tough. Let's go to Kat. I'm in my 60s. I can't sit in those stadium seats for a whole game without being, you know what, for 2 days. Home is comfy. The beer is cheap, and there's no lineup for the ladies' room. Thank you, Kat. 1-877-332-8255. So looking at the analysts and talking about why the attendance is low. And I think we'd all agree, right? It's not the product on the field. The product on the field has been not better than fine. It's been fun to watch. I know we had some conversation yesterday when Dave Naylor was on and I was touting the offense and there's a lot more scoring. I like more scoring, but some of you think, you know, we need to get back to a more balanced game. Regardless, the product on the field is still getting ice. So summer scheduling, because the season runs through the summer, the games often clash with the long weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those are the games. And camping and cottages and outdoor events, et cetera, matter. The economic factor. Everybody's tickets are going up. I've never seen any tickets going down. Everybody's tickets are going up. Parking. Getting there. We're a society now where the less hassle, the better. We are, do you really want to go? Because everything that goes into getting there is also one of those drawbacks. And then on Reddit, it was interesting. I know Reddit's Reddit, but the fan turnout on platforms like Reddit is tied to a team's current win-loss record, with local markets seeing immediate attendance dips during losing seasons. So wins and losses still matter. I've always said, there's no secret to sports to get people to come watch your product. Win. That solves it. There was a time not too long ago in the National Hockey League when you could pick a section in Florida and nobody was there. Nobody. And guess what happened? They started to win and they won a lot and they won championships. And good luck trying to get a ticket now in Florida. We'll be this year too. 1-877-332-8255. I got a couple more, and then we'll get to a break and talk to Aaron Bronstetter about a different sport that has hitting UFC and UFC 329 coming up with the big headliner. Conor McGregor is back against Max Blessed Holloway. This is Matt. Matt says, Sunday game is great for home viewer, not in the stands and attendance. And this is from Jeremy. Jeremy says, if they want butts in the seats, they need to lower the concession prices. It's like a movie theater. Food and drink cost way more than the ticket. Try taking a family. I'll stay at home. 1-877-332-8255. That is the number. We got about a half hour left, and then the Green Zone game day takes over at 3:30 with Britton Gray and, of course, Belton Johnson and Daryl Davis. So coming up after the news, as I mentioned, the great Aaron Bronstetter from Sportsnet, one of the best reporters and broadcasters about mixed martial arts, will be on the phone to us, and we'll talk about McGregor and Holloway at UFC 329 next week on the Green Zone, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You're good, young man. Starting over. Great song from Chris Stapleton. Because Conor McGregor is starting over. When Rocco asked me to come in this week and guest host after a long layoff of not doing this program, my boys came to me, Donovan Davis, said, you got to get Aaron Bronstetter on because Conor's coming back and you love talking to Aaron Bronstetter. And they're absolutely right. And he joins us on the phone right now, Aaron Bronstetter from Sportsnet, reporter and broadcaster about everything MMA, 4 straight nominations as MMA Journalist of the Year. Hello, Mr. Bronstetter. It's been a long time.
It sure has, Drew, and it's great to hear your voice, and I'm glad that the voice in your head encouraged you to give me a call. So we're both winning in this situation, and I always love speaking to you. And when they, I originally said, hey, can I do it next week? That's the day of the event. They said, well, Drew Romando's coming in and hosting, and I said, well, then I guess I'm going to do it that day.
Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it. It's an exciting time for the UFC. You were at UFC 250, were you not?
UFC 250.
I'm sorry.
Freedom 250.
Freedom 250. I'm sorry.
The Amanda Nunes and Felicia Spencer fight. Yes, I was at Freedom 250 at the White House.
Yeah. What? First off, what did you think? It was an incredible spectacle. The fights were fantastic, but the overall spectacle of itself, what was that like to take in?
Oh, it was just absolutely surreal.
Yeah.
That they were able to pull off an event of that magnitude, especially in that location. You know, I think a set of circumstances came together that gave them really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do an event like that. And I think that when you look at the execution of the event, the fact that the weather somehow didn't affect
it. Amazing.
I mean, that's pretty. I mean, we just had kids over at the at our pool today because they said it wasn't going to rain. And then come 3 o'clock, it just starts pouring, and everybody had to get out. Lightning's flying. Parents are getting freaked out that their kids are in the pool. You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, freak weather can come. But they were actually, the weather was projecting they were going to get hit by a massive storm for like an hour during the event, to the point that they actually had delayed the start of it. And it just nothing happened. There was no, I went outside and looked around, and the clouds were gray, and it looked like the worst was coming. And then just the event just seemed to go right over it. So, I mean, if people still have conspiracy theories about the government controlling the weather, I mean, that certainly didn't help. But at the same time, it was a blessing for the event because it went off without a hitch.
Okay, UFC 329. We've got Conor McGregor, the notorious one, coming back. He's going to fight Max Blessed Holloway. It's been 5 years, Aaron. So, realistically, what are your expectations for Conor McGregor?
Well, this is a funny question, Drew, because I don't really know. I don't know what to expect from him. I don't know what the fans are going to expect. When I look at the odds for this fight, I think they're expecting the best possible Conor McGregor, because Max is only about a 2-1 favorite in this situation. And I personally think that, like, it had got up to 7-1 for him early on as a favorite. And that's kind of where I would pin the odds, because I just don't know what Conor McGregor we're going to see. Max has been fighting elite fighters. He's been beating elite fighters, losing to some along the way as well, but still getting wins over top guys. He's never fought at 170 before, but that being said, he probably just won't cut weight. We'll just walk into the cage and is walking around weight. Personally, don't really know what to expect from Conor McGregor, and I also don't really know how Conor McGregor is going to be able to beat Max Holloway. So all of these things are to be seen, and that's what makes this an intriguing proposition.
It's been 5 years. The last two fights, he fought Dustin Poirier. He lost both of them. He's had one win in his last four fights, but again, it's been 5 years. So, you know, you see him online, and he certainly, after the injury and on his rehab, he got huge. Absolutely huge. Now, he was taking what was prescribed to him, and they were at that time illegal, and led to a really unique situation between the UFC and the USDA as far as testing and a separation, right, of oversight when it comes to the drug enforcement.
Yeah, essentially. I don't know exactly how much that played into it, but it ended up with the UFC putting together their own anti-doping program led by Jeff Nowitzki, who has a dearth of experience when it comes to anti-doping. But it did cause a rift between the UFC and USADA, because I think the argument made by McGregor's team is that this is a career-altering injury.
Right.
And, you know, they wanted to recover in the best possible way from that injury in order to compete again. And obviously, there wouldn't have been a rift if it wasn't for the fact that some of these medications that were prescribed to him are on the anti-doping list for USADA in terms of competing in sport. So that obviously caused some division, and here we are now 5 years later. I mean, for it to take this long for him to recover generally shows the kind of injury that it was.
Yeah, it was devastating. They were talking about that. It might not ever heal. So, yeah, I understood what he was talking about when he was talking about, I took what was prescribed to me. But you talked about Max. He's never fought at welterweight, never fought at 170. So when you look at that, and you said, and maybe explain this to everybody, you said he'll probably just walk in his walking around weight. He won't have to cut weight. When we're talking about that with fighters, explain to everybody what we're talking about, when how much weight these guys have to cut before they get into a fight. Like Max usually fights one division lower, right?
I mean, usually by two divisions lower.
I'm sorry, right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, he had moved to lightweight, which is one division lower, but his most successful run as a fighter was at 145 pounds, where he became one of the legends of the divisions. But the reason I say he's going to fight at his walk-around weight is because when he fought at 145 pounds, he was probably walking around 170, 175 pounds, depending on how far into camp he was, and would have to cut the last 30 pounds, 25 Amazing. Pounds prior to the fight in order to compete as a featherweight. So that's where I get that from. You know, what he's going to be like at 170 pounds, I don't really know. I can't imagine him being, you know, that much slower or anything like that. It's more McGregor that I have the questions about, because you know, McGregor also is not going to have McGregor, I think in this situation, probably will have to cut weight. I'm guessing he walks around at 185, 190 pounds these days if you look at how big he's gotten. But he's probably going to have to do a little bit of a cut, whereas Max probably walks around at 175 pounds, if I had to guess, since moving to lightweight, maybe even a little bit more, 180. So, I mean, if he enters fight week at his walk-around weight of 180 pounds, if hypothetically that's what it is, cutting to 170 from 180, these guys can do that in a matter of hours.
It's absolutely amazing, these guys, and them cutting weight, then being able to gain it back before a lot of it back before the fight. So when we look at Max and my son Donovan, who you talked to on the phone, he loves Max. Max is his favorite fighter, just the way he fights. And the guy fights. He brings a fight to the game. He's got a certain style. His style versus Connor, and as you already mentioned, we don't know what Connor is going to bring. But when you watch Max and the way he fights, what intrigues you, or what do you like about his fight, his style more than anything?
Well, Max just has... He's great intangibles.
Yeah.
That I think anybody that has those intangibles can succeed in mixed martial arts. He's got a granite chin. It's, I think, only been dropped, once, maybe twice in his career. I know once by Ilya at the very least. I can't remember. I think Poirier might have dropped him too. But those are his recent fights. Granite chin, incredible cardio, 5-round cardio. He can go the distance in a fight no problem without getting tired. And in terms of MMA, he has elite boxing.
Yes.
You know, would he be an elite boxer? In boxing, probably not. But in terms of MMA, he's the upper echelon of boxing and kickboxing when it comes to mixed martial arts. His wrestling, not great. His wrestling defense has been pretty solid. And, you know, he can execute submissions. He did it earlier in his career. But most of his style is predicated on, like, you know, every time you hit me, I'm going to hit you 4 times.
I love how busy he is when he's fighting, without a doubt. Another fight I'm very intrigued is St. Denis and Paddy Pimblett. I love Paddy. Lost his last fight. How do you think he is going to retaliate?
Yeah, it's an interesting fight because I think that from a striking standpoint and a grappling standpoint, St. Denis might have the advantage when it comes to like just pure wrestling and striking. But the thing that Pimblett has is, again, another guy with just an ironclad chin. Can take punishment. But in terms of his submission grappling, I think that's where things get a little bit interesting in this fight. And that's why St. Denis isn't that big of a favorite, because I mentioned striking and grappling advantage probably goes to St. Denis. But when it comes to like submission grappling and just sheer ingenuity, I feel like you got to give Paddy Pimblett the advantage there. That's where he becomes a tricky fighter. Because I think both guys have 3-round cardio. I just think that if Paddy can get the fight to the ground somehow, or if St. Denis takes him down, I think Paddy's going to be able to find some openings. But I do think that if the fight stays on the feet and St. Denis keeps there, I think that St. Denis is going to have an advantage. So it's not a great matchup for Paddy Pimblett, I'd say. But I do think that Paddy Pimblett does have path to victory.
Aaron Bronstetter joining us from Sportsnet, best MMA reporter and broadcaster out there, 4 straight nominations as MMA Journalist of the Year. A couple of weeks, they're going to nominate. Again, you're probably going to get the 5th nomination, right?
Well, they actually postponed the award show, and that's actually going to be next week. Oh. It's usually in December, but the award show's now next week, and I don't know when they're going to open up nominations for the next year, but that would be nice if I got it 5 years in a row. I mean, who's counting, right, Drew?
I am, and you are. We all do. Hey, where is the UFC? I mean, after Freedom 250 and now McGregor, I mean, there's a lot of good headlines coming out. The sport is fantastic. There's so many good fighters. And we're even seeing somebody, you know, like Robert Whittaker's coming back, for crying out loud, in the prelims. So where is the UFC in your eyes as far as health as an organization and the fight game itself? Where's the UFC going?
Well, right now I'd say it's as healthy as it's ever been. It's got riding a crazy wave of momentum. But that being said, I think that right now it's hard to say they lack superstars because Conor's coming back, but right. It feels like they haven't been able to build a lot of transcendent stars. I think that the brand itself has become the star, and that is basically the way that they've designed the promotion, is that the promotion is what people come to see, not necessarily specific fighters. I think also coming off that White House card, they did one card in Las Vegas and then one card in Baku, Azerbaijan.
Right.
And I think both those cards on paper weren't necessarily the most stacked cards, but they delivered like crazy entertainment. And I think that's kind of what you want. I mean, if you are somebody who tuned into the Freedom 250 card for the first time, and that was your first time watching UFC, you got an incredible show with a high entertainment quotient. And then if you tuned in the next 2 weeks, I still think that like they've held on to your attention. And I think that they're going to garner some new fans from that White House card. So they're going to come along for the ride. So I think that right now the health of the promotion is as good as it's really ever been. I don't know. I think that right now there are some weak divisions, and I think that's kind of been the way it's been sort of historically. I think women's bantamweight, aside from Amanda Nunes and Kayla Harrison, is very weak. Yeah. I think that light heavyweight with Ullberg as the champion and him being injured is very, very weak. I think heavyweight, it's coming along. I think we need to see Aspinall come back. We've got the debut of Gable Steveson, who is injecting some new life into this division, as is Josh Hokit. Despite his antics, he's been a tremendous fighter for them. So I think heavyweight is getting is healthier than it's been in a long time. But as a result of that, light heavyweight is starting to suffer a little bit. So I think, you know, there's ebbs and flows to the promotion right now. But I think if you're looking at the overall health of the promotion, I can't think of a time where it's been healthier.
I love it, pal. Great talking to you again. Always great stuff. And I agree with you. I think, you know, yeah, we're still lacking those huge stars like GSP and Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture and all the ones that we, you know, we watched decades ago. But you're seeing more fights now. That's what I love about this, about the sport.
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. Well, thanks for having me on. Donovan, we'll see how your guy Max does. And, you know, he loves Toronto, so we love him. And exactly. It's going to be an incredible event.
Thank you, sir. Great talking to you again.
Hey, Drew, anytime. Always a pleasure.
Aaron Bronstetter from Sportsnet, the best guy out there. You just heard it. The insight and very interesting and very honest answer when it comes to Aaron Bronstetter. And when I asked him what to expect from Connor, who knows? 5 years. 5 years it's been since he fought and came off a devastating broken leg and a long way back. So I'm thrilled. Next week, July 11th, that is when the notorious one goes against blessed Max Holloway. We'll be back to wrap things up and give you to the Green Zone game day on the Green Zone, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. My number one favorite song of all time, Shoot the Thrill, AC/DC. Can't believe they're back on tour. That's going to wrap it up for me, gang. It's been a very fun week. First of all, I want to thank you, 1-877-332-8255 on that text line and on the calls. I always appreciate you listening. I always appreciate you joining in, and it is fantastic when you do that. Also want to thank Donovan, Davis, Jeremy, and the Bookman for running everything in the booth. Tell you, they are the unsung heroes of Ralco. And here at CKOM and CJME, they do everything. They make sure everybody gets on the air. They make sure that everything is running smoothly. It was great to be back. Murray Wood, thanks for your constant support. I appreciate it. And I'm going to leave you with this. We all know it's tough out there, and a lot of it lately is coming to the forefront. And sometimes it gets heavy on our shoulders. So I'm going to leave you with this. We all need to grant ourselves a little more grace as we navigate the unknown. When we grant ourselves grace, it brings healing and restoration, and we come out better on the other side. Thanks, everyone. I hope you had as much fun as I did, and we will talk to you soon on the Green Zone, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.